Welcome to our podcast.
As a matter of black.
I'm Bowie.
And it's your boy. You know what I'm saying? The Buffalo Soldiers. You know what I'm saying? God of Love Rule. Bali. What's poppin'?
Welcome back to another episode. We're back again.
Yeah, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. You know what I'm saying? Y'all been some real love soldiers with us.
Yeah, I haven't checked the analytics for the last episode, but usually when I check all the time, we have such good, plays. We have lots of plays. Mm-hmm. And we love when people review us and, you know, send us comments and stuff via social media and so on and so forth. You know, go like our page on Instagram. It's AAMOB_pod. Find us anywhere that podcast episodes are being played.
Yeah. What did our last guest told us that we were the African-American mob.
Oh, yeah.
The African-American mob.
Just in time for Juneteenth.
Already. It's the Juneteenth show.
No, we gonna have a real Juneteenth show on Juneteenth.
Okay.
Anyway, we're back. So, what's been happening?
Word. You know what I'm saying? I think we finally, you know what I'm saying, starting to transition into that point in our podcast where, like, a lot of the episodes are getting real interesting and we're getting a lot of dope guests, getting a lot of requests. I'm just excited about, you know what I'm saying, some of the guests we got lined up and some of the people that have reached out. So yeah, man, so that's what's been on my plate for the most part. Other than that, you know, it is that time of the year, the weather is hot. So you know, a lot of fun happens when it gets to this summertime, you know.
Didn't we start recording around this time? Did we start recording three years ago in June?
Man, I don't remember. All you got to do is look up for the release date of when Wendy's Spicy Nuggets came back.
Yeah.
When they were resurrected.
Only thing I was thinking about is the episode Boob Sweat, because it was hot. It was like our third episode or something, third or fourth episode.
Okay, so it was warm weather.
It was hot.
I feel like Wendy's Spicy Nuggets probably came back in the spring, you know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
maybe you're right.
And they probably gone again.
Well, we had them, and then they were only, like, okay.
So what's, you know what I'm saying, what's been happening since the last episode? What's going on with you?
Nothing. Like, literally nothing. We, I guess, are coming up on the end, perhaps, of a global pandemic, maybe?
No, I don't think so, but...
Oh, shoot.
I mean, I don't think so, but, you know what I'm saying, the numbers have definitely gone down. Let's just say that, I'll say.
Well, thankfully, the numbers have gone down. And people are essentially, like, going outside a little more and being a little more personable. I'm starting to see less masks and, you know, less all sorts of things. So that'll be interesting coming into the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I did at one point in time see a very interesting person with a mask in my neighborhood. Oh, wait, we're talking about Palm Mooney first.
We already on it, but go ahead. This is what happens right there.
This is what happens. Sorry.
She had a pod fart. It was a pod fart.
So, I saw an interesting person with a mask.
Word.
And this person was walking around downtown in my area where I live while I was walking the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking the dog and I saw them turn the corner. And I was like, oh... Like, is there about to be, like, a shakedown or, like, a drug bust? Because I thought they were, like SWAT.
Like a SWAT uniform.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, a SWAT team, like, coming to, like, come check us out and come see about us, you know?
Pause.
Okay.
If a SWAT team ever showed where you live, I need to see video of that because I think that's going to be a hilarious raid.
Really?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I digress. Continue with your story.
Well,
I'm just talking about the area you in. That's why I say that. But go ahead.
Well, the person turns the corner and I could get a really good view of what they had on. Mm-hmm. And they did have a mask and like a helmet type thing going on. Mm-hmm. But they also had like handcuffs and a sword. They were dressed in all black and they were very interesting looking.
Yeah, so you're talking about the Central Arkansas superhero.
The Little Rock Vigilante.
He got a name. What's his name?
His name is Shadow Vision.
Already. I'm going to call him Central Arkansas superhero. Cass.
Cass. He looked broke, though. Yeah, however, he looks a little broke. So,
Cash, man. What's up with you, Cash?
You would never believe this because I saw him. The day that I saw him, I was walking my dog, like I said. And then a few hours later, I met with some friends and I told them about what I saw. And they did not believe me.
Already.
They didn't believe me. And they would go, oh, did you get a picture of a dude? And I was like, no, because he looked like a lunatic, you know? Like, people was out here crazy. I think it was right around the time they were shooting up the Super King or whatever it's called, grocery store in Boulder. Like, folks is crazy. Mm. I don't even be taking no picture of some strange man with swords and handcuffs and a mask on his body.
Word. It sounds, you know, it sounds like a real life comedy movie to me. Because the only thing I can think of is Blank Man. You know what I'm saying? The movie with Damon Wayans, like the self-made like superhero in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And so, like, although I will say, like, you know, Blank Man just grabs stuff like straight out the closet
and uses it.
Cash, he got his stuff from the novelty store. He ordered some real swords.
Yeah.
I mean, some girl left him handcuffs.
he had a real interesting night, a long night.
A helmet, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, that's a legit helmet on his head.
Yep.
And, man, it's getting hot outside. Like, his superhero outfit better come with, like, ice packs on the inside.
Or maybe he has, like, an automatic fan. Maybe he has, like, a fan that he pushes a button and it pops up and blows.
Nah, all I'm gonna say is Cash, aka Shadow Vision. Look, stay hydrated, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how those summers get in the South. And man, the last thing we want to see is a superhero on the ground, like, you know, with complications from a heat stroke. Yeah. And you know that's gonna go viral because somebody gonna be like, they go Shadow Boy. You know what I'm saying? He laying right on the ground on Broadway. He laid out in front of the McDonald's.
Yeah.
All they gonna do is they gonna call the paramedics. They gonna be like, call the paramedics. They gonna put the camera right on them on the sidewalk. Cause it's 107 degrees outside and he wrapped up with a robe, knives, a turtle shell on his back, and you know what I'm saying? A yarmulke, a hijab, and a football helmet on his head. And combat boots.
Why does he have all this stuff?
Man, all I'm saying is the brother is here for a rude awakening if he think he can do that all summer long.
So,
in all black.
I got a few issues with Mr. Shadow Vision, but I would like to just briefly talk about a few things about his life.
Already.
So, the first thing is that there is a debate around what race this gentleman or lady, because we really don't know, but this gentleman and or lady, we don't really know what race this individual is.
All I'm saying is please don't be black.
However, they did get a write-up in the Arkansas Times.
Man, they'll write about anything in Arkansas Times.
Get your weight up, Arkansas Times.
One time they promoted my show and I was like, I had a magician hosting my show. I was like, it's a magician. And they printed it.
So, Arkansas Times.
Nah, keep on doing what you do in Arkansas Times.
Okay,
you know, hey, they give an equal shine, you know. All
right.
Ain't no different than some of these fake legislators out here acting like they doing some superhero things. Really going up there just, they actually going up there, you know what I'm saying, causing some detriment to the community, so.
Accurate.
But go ahead, Shadow.
Okay, so Shadow Vision, as he is so affectionately named.
Cash. Come on, dog.
He's been around for 8 years now, apparently. He's walked among us, but ain't nobody really, really seen him like that, because he likes to stay quiet. He do not like the limelight. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it. I seen too many people taking selfies with him.
That he said that he said the reason why you see people taking selfies with him is because of the unfortunate murders that have been happening in Little Rock. Because he stepped out of Shadow Vision, stepped out of the shadows, pun intended, to take on head to head the Little Rock slasher.
No, let's stop that, because
it's on the headline per the Arkansas Times.
Shadow, I got an issue with you.
Per the Arkansas Times, local superhero Shadow Vision vows to take down the Little Rock slasher.
He was out before that.
He was out before that, but he came out in public, away from the out of the shadows.
But he was, I'm talking about, but I people seen him walking before the serial killer.
This thing say that the attack happened a year ago.
And so that's when he popped out?
I think so.
Already. Well, he should have popped out when the police was murdering
him. Okay. He said he stepped out of the shadows this week to issue a public challenge.
Exactly. He should have stepped out the shadows when the police was murdering people. He should have stepped out the shadows when they was you know what I'm saying, trying to say stop the violence. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if he can find the serial killer and handle his business, then we might give him a hood pass.
Well, I want to get back to my grievance with Mr. Shadow Man over here.
All right.
Mr. Shadow Man.
Shadow Henderson.
Oh, he also got a Facebook page. He has his own, like, celebrity, like, public figure page on Facebook, if y'all want to check it out.
Come on, Shadow Henderson.
No
better blues.
We trying to figure out, we really don't know what race you are, but we speculate what it is. But we were all wondering, because we're, as a matter of black, yeah. We were all wondering if you... We worry slightly that if you weren't of a particular race, it would not be okay for you to walk around in this garb all willy-nilly. So that's the only grievance I got with Shadow Vision, is that we need you to identify yourself. Like, you need to be like Batman or Spider-Man or one of them Negroes that turn into somebody else in the day.
But see, that's the thing about it. If he revealed his identity, we probably ain't even going to be talking about him no more, because he probably work at the library or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably don't do nothing real spectacular. He might be like, hey, let me go reorganize the card catalog.
Right, put up the DVDs.
You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, he probably do something like that. He don't do nothing. It ain't, you know what I'm saying? My guy ain't over there, you know. He ain't investing in that stock market like that. You know what I'm saying? He ain't briefcase and suit and tie.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think he just average dude, and we found out that was him walking around with them swords, he might put his life in danger, because
everybody's gonna try to,
is
true.
We'd be like, hold on, you the dude that put
you Shadow Vision,
you the one that be messing up the order at Subway, making sandwiches. We said,
you got him working at Subway in the library?
I'm telling you, he do something like that, that's why he can't reveal his identity.
What if he worked for a Fortune 5? What if he worked for the Stevens Building?
Okay, then I'm going
to... First Orient over here.
I'm going to debunk that, because I did my research.
Oh, God.
I found his GoFundMe, his Cash App.
Why he got a GoFundMe?
Because he need a car. He said he would raise the money to get him a car. No. So Cash, trying to get that cash. Shadow Henderson trying to do that. You can't even be an effective hero. You can't, you know, this dude on foot with it. He ain't got no moped, no bike.
He got no Batmobile.
Nothing. He all on foot.
God damn.
So if somebody wanted to try him, like, he would just...
He would have to just, book it.
He got to book it for a minute, too. It's like, how many blocks before we get tired?
You know, Shadow.
We got some real track stars in the hood. They'll chase you down. They'll chase you down for miles.
I got a question for him, too. Maybe one day we can have him on the podcast. Because do he talk? Do you know if he talk?
I ain't never seen him in person.
All right. So I just want to know, why don't you go to the hood where the situation is happening?
Because they going to try him. They going to try him. You can't walk around. It's like this right here. You can't walk around in the hood with swords.
This is true.
And guns on you and without getting questioned.
Agreed.
They'll be like, who was you?
In a get up with camouflage.
He cosplaying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? We put him on the same level as the dude that walk around in the Star Trek uniform throwing up the, throwing up Pharrell and Hugo sign. Chad Hugo sign. Them Trekkies.
I don't know this person.
Them Trekkies.
These people in real life.
They dress up like Trekkies all the time.
Around here for us?
Nah, I'm talking about they go to them little conventions.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they be coming out with them little ears and them. They be dressed like Star Trek people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, it be dudes that be walking around in Power Rangers and Spider-Man outfits. They can't just walk through the hood like that. Somebody gonna be like, man, flip off this building. They ain't gonna ask him like, man, take out that sword and show me a trick.
Yeah.
He probably don't know no cool tricks. He probably gonna show you a slice. Man, no. I might know him, real talk, because I be knowing a lot of interesting characters. I'm just saying, Shadow Vision can't walk through the hood 24/7. Because you know what? Somebody gonna try him.
Agreed.
Somebody gonna try him. Okay. And it might be by more than one person simultaneously.
He might get jumped in the hood.
You might get monkey dumped. You might get molly whopped. You might kiss the beat down. You know what I'm saying? Because he ain't got nothing on bulletproof, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, his helmet looked kind of legit. Helmet slash mask, but I don't think it's like no bulletproof nothing.
And hood, the people in the hood ain't scared of no helmet. Guess what?
That's true.
We play football.
Yeah.
In the streets. With no pads.
No helmets.
And no helmets.
No, none of that.
Got concussions and never went to the doctor.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm at CTE.
I mean, come on, think about it. You was in the hood back in the day and you came outside in your taekwondo and your karate uniform with your yellow belt on. Somebody's going to be like, slam me, kick me, do something.
Lord, they wanted to see what you got.
What you got? Because do that stuff really work in real life?
Oh, man.
Come on. You know people love to try people that they got on uniforms.
I stayed in the house as a kid. My mama didn't put me through nothing. We have had a conversation about that, how she didn't put me through nothing.
Well, you was a stoop kid. You know what I'm saying? You was on the stoop.
Now, my brother.
Oh, boy.
Now, he was tried.
Yeah, because he walked places. Because
he walked, he did.
See, when you're young, you walk places.
He was a dude, too. That also counts.
But when somebody don't recognize you, and if somebody and you walk through a neighborhood, you on your bike, skateboard, whatever. You on them little shoes that with the wheels on the bottom, and you just rolling down the street. Somebody be like, hey, what's your name?
They gonna be like,
where you live?
What size shoe you got on? What size are those?
Somebody gonna be like, what kind of knives is those?
Don't ever answer. Tell them, if somebody asks you what size is your shoe, be like, they my size.
Shadow Henderson, you need to get your saxophone back. Hey, leave these streets alone, man. I'm trying to tell you, looking for that serial killer. And that's real talk. Little Rock serial killer, that's real talk. I've got a beef with that, too, because they didn't really get no good description of the serial killer. They were just like, he's 6 foot and he black.
Oh, that they have? They released that information?
Yeah, he at least 6 foot and he black.
Oh.
And then they showed a blurry nighttime photo of a dude.
That's some bull.
A dude back.
That's some mess. That's
they just increased the police heat on every black man. Every
6 foot black man.
Yeah, that's in the hood.
Or 5'11", between 5'10" and 5'6".
You know they don't know nobody's height when they look at them.
Yeah.
They're like, he's 6'3". Right. Brother come out there. I'm like, brother, you the same size as everybody in B2K. Stop it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 5'2".
You know what I'm saying? You and Cat Williams in the same weight class. Stop it. They said he was 6'4", though, and he robbed somebody. What?
Him, dude?
That's, you know how they do. You know how the police do.
Yeah, they do. And they call little black boys men.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tamir Rice was a man.
He was a man.
Even though he was 11. Yeah, exactly. You know, whatever.
Yeah, and they ain't put no age range. They just put a height and a race. They didn't put no age range out.
They didn't even
get a good description of his clothes or nothing. Just catch to see the brother walk. And in every video they got, he just looked like, like somebody in a horror movie just walking in at night, but you can't even see his no clear description of what he looked like.
That's not okay.
But Shadow Man, you know, when we run up on
you. Shadow Man, you stay your ass around the hood then, because we don't want you getting mixed up with any just 6'5", 6' black man.
Hey, all I'm going to say is, I say go to the hood. Show and prove. You got, you know what I'm saying? Show and prove. Show what you can do with the knife. Show what you can do with your fist. Get the fisticuffs going. Show them how you can whip them cuffs. You got some nunchucks. I mean, you walking everywhere. Show us your speed. Show us your strength. You know what I'm saying?
Show us if you can jump hurdles.
I'm going to try to put you in the NFL combine. I want to know your 40 time, your cone time, your shuttle. I want to know how many times can you hit 225 on the bench press. I want to see, can you throw the football from one side of the field to the next? And I want to see, can you hurdle a fence in one bound?
And run from a dog.
Oh, you got, if you go to the hood, somebody going to let their dog out. It's going to be the dog that's sitting around a tree, that's chained to the tree. They're going to let him out.
Okay, Shadow Man, Shadow Vision person.
All right, we're going to get up.
The verdict's out. Everybody know about you because everybody listened to As Matter Black. Now, yeah. You got to show and prove.
Show and prove, brother.
Or you need to take down this GoFundMe and stuff.
He got to show and prove that in one or two ways. Hand over the serial killer and make sure it's the correct person. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be, are we having, Ultimate Fighter tryouts? We're going to see what your hands look like.
That's the deal, Shadow Man.
Come on, Cash.
Okay. Somebody should
Arkansas superhero.
Yo, if y'all see Cash Shadow Man, aka Shadow Vision, aka Shadow Henderson in the streets, get a picture and send it to us. At us at AAMOB_pie on Instagram.
Hell yeah. Already though. But On a serious note, and then the serial killers out here, that's a serious note. So
yes,
we need
be
that,
careful, stay safe.
Yeah, we need that situation taken care of. We don't need no more people getting stabbed, and my condolences to all the victims and the families.
It's horrible.
Real talk, we need some real work being put in on that. But man, on another note, serious note. We lost an icon, in the entertainment and comedy world, the black entertainment and comedy world. One of the greats passed away, man. It seemed like, every other episode we talking about somebody else that's passed as one of the greats.
Yeah.
Comedian, actor.
Writer.
Mm-hmm. Paul Mooney.
Yeah.
Passed away on May 19th on Malcolm X's birthday.
Yeah.
Malcolm X's birthday, man. But, definitely was known as a social critic, man. One of the writers for Richard Pryor. Mm-hmm. So when people listen to Richard Pryor, just know, you listening to Paul Mooney, listening to him, and as well as collaborating with Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Red Fox. If you watched any of these comedians from the 70s up until now, those four people I just named, and many people consider those four to be like the top tier comedians in general. Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, and Richard Pryor. You know, if a lot of people, those four people I just mentioned are like the top, the greatest, the GOAT comedian of all time.
Totally.
So Paul Mooney, much respect. And you know, what's your thoughts, man? What you thinking?
I found him to be incredibly, incredibly funny and incredibly talented. I learned like way later. Well, first of all, like I wasn't around like Richard Pryor was around, but you know, of course
you never saw the Richard Pryor show?
No, I never saw the Richard Pryor show.
I did, and I think you should go check it out too. But I caught it on DVD. You know, I wasn't living in the 70s, but they had it at the library, man. You know, Richard Pryor, like, okay, let me just say this. Richard Pryor show did what Dave Chappelle did back in the 70s.
Okay.
Like, it was, and he was one of the main writers for the show. And Richard Pryor was just too much for TV, and he was getting big ratings and everything, but they just canceled him because it was like his show was just too wild. That's why I say he did the same thing that Dave Chappelle did with his show, because when Dave Chappelle popped it off with the black white supremacists, everybody was like, this show's not going to last. But it was funny.
So funny.
And he stayed as long as he wanted to. But one of his collaborators on the show was the great Paul Mooney.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, go check out the Richard Pryor show. It was canceled before the season could even end.
Well, yeah, I have watched some of his stand-up comedy, and like he was definitely like a genius behind like writing all these different shows, including Sanford and Son.
Yep.
He was a writer on that show as well. And so I just feel like him and what he brought to like the world of comedy, and also what he brought to like the literary world, because I think a lot of his stuff that he wrote and the shows that he put together were like extremely literary. Comedy actually within itself can be literary, but anywho, I feel like I'm sounding like a nerd, but I loved him as a comedian. I started reading one of his books back in December. I think it was an autobiography, Black is the New White. It's got a foreword by Dave Chappelle where he just sort of talks about his start, talks about him growing up, his grandma and his family, and sort of just like how he came from like humble and rough beginnings, and talks about like this whirlwind life experience in Hollywood with like Richard Pryor and all the other like celebrities back in the 70s or whatever. I had heard he was very like intuitive about stuff like race. So for me, I felt like I could really appreciate his thoughts about race and race relations in this country. He had a really kind of almost before his time point of view as it relates to like America, white Americans, black Americans, African Americans, and other like Mexicans and Asians, and how we all sort of like work together in this, you know, in not work together, but how we all sort of like function together in America or abroad. He had a knack for like dirty jokes, but they weren't offensive. Well, I didn't find them to be offensive. So he sort of towed the line between like these very dirty jokes that, you know, people that maybe a little, you know, cleaner maybe wouldn't appreciate, but he was raw.
Yeah.
And he was thoughtful, and I feel like a lot of people maybe looked up to him as a great in the comedy world, and he contributed a lot to American comedy.
Most definitely, because if you ever watched him, even if you watched just Dave Chappelle, or if you happen to catch one of his stand-ups, he said the truth, and he said pretty much what every black person probably was thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But nobody wanted to just like make a joke out of it because they just didn't want to offend white people. You know what I'm saying? But he pretty much was just like, you know, F your feelings. I'm gonna say the truth, and I'm gonna just tell it like it is. And so, you know, I think that's one reason why, you know what I'm saying, people in the comedy world are definitely gonna miss that style of comedy, because him being just so in your face about, you know, all of his thoughts on race relations and just social commentary, you know what I'm saying? It shocked a lot of people. It made some people just question, like, what exactly was he trying to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, he offended a lot of comedians too. He offended a lot of people. But I mean, when you look at comedy the way it is now, especially in the cancel, this age where people get canceled so quick, you know, he lived in probably like one of the greatest eras of comedy, when you really could just get away with saying anything. Nowadays, comedians are getting like blacklisted, blackballed, canceled for their jokes. And so, like, now, you know, so you just can't say whatever comes to your mind, because you might have to issue a whole apology. It don't matter if it was spoken 20 years ago. You might have to come back and apologize. Yeah. He lived during an era of comedy where all comedians could pretty much say whatever they want to without stealing somebody else's joke and not get called out for it, because, or not get called out like with a whole lot of public scrutiny, man. You know, he did it all the time. He did it on live television too. I remember the Wake Up Call Award that he did on BET one year, man, that pissed off a lot of people. And he talked about a lot of different black celebrities too, and that pissed a lot of those people off and those fan bases off. But like I say, man, he was one of the greats. You gotta respect his talent.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying, he was just an unapologetic comedian. Controversial for sure though.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess whenever anybody gets time to find his comedy or find the Richard Pryor show, or
go check out his stand-ups. I think he got about 4 stand-ups that are out. Probably have to do some Googling and Amazon shopping for him, because I'm pretty sure, unless, you know what I'm saying, Amazon and Netflix are going to put him on there. But, like, he didn't really get a lot of, I'll say, those, you know, those Kevin Hart, that Kevin
Huge
Hart
specials.
Yeah, he didn't get the publicity and the exposure, because he didn't really, like I say, he didn't compromise who he was as a comedian. And that's why people love Richard Pryor so much. But Paul Mooney was, you know, in the shadows for a lot of years. And then, you know what I'm saying, man, you know, people start understanding the impact that he had when, you know, other comedians like went to him, like, man, I want you to help me out, or he inspired me. And you started seeing the impact. And then years later, like I say, a big shout out to Dave Chappelle, because people didn't, he introduced Paul Mooney to a whole nother generation of people.
Yeah.
Negro Thomas. He was like, white people love Wayne Brady because he makes Brian Gumbel look like Malcolm X. That spawned like one of the greatest episodes of Dave Chappelle's show, because Dave Chappelle was like, I'm gonna let him say it, but I gotta go back and immediately apologize. But they was like, he wasn't canceling the joke though. He was just like, you know, let me be cool with you. Like, I let him write his own material, but, you know, gotta accept, you know what I'm saying, my judgment on that one, and let me go and get Wayne Brady to do a whole episode.
On one of his stand-ups, and I think it was in Atlanta, I can't remember what year, he was talking about how, like, he was talking about history and how, like apparently, like, he was like, he didn't really understand how all these different diseases were popping up. And he was saying that, like, he was like, why couldn't these diseases be around when it was like, when we could have used them? Like, Massa, am I a slave? I forget. I got Alzheimer's. Like, like, so funny. And then he was talking about, like slavery and how, like, maybe they tried out slavery with all these different people, but, like, black people were the only people that could do it right because, like, the Mexicans kept trying to pick oranges instead of cotton. I'm sorry. So, I don't know. He's just so funny. He makes me laugh so much. Like, I think about his jokes and I just crack up.
Yeah, and it's like, it's the stuff that you don't want to laugh at because even he don't laugh sometimes. That's what make it, like, crazy to me because it's like...
He's serious.
Yeah, some but that's, like, that's part of his, like, comedic presence. It's like, I'm going to say stuff and y'all going to laugh and I'm just going to keep it straight face because I'm just, like, telling the truth.
Right.
But every once in a while, I'll say something that crack my own self up.
Yeah.
It's some comedians who just do it like that because, like, he's got a real dry... He don't get real animated with his voice. He got a deep voice, you know what I'm saying? Always on stage with some type of do-rag, China moon rag, bonnet on his head. Mm-hmm. He's just up there talking with this deep voice. Everybody want to be him. Don't nobody want to, you know what I'm saying? So he just, you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, rest in peace, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Rest in peace to the legend, Paul Mooney. I say this summer, we all try to watch one of those comedy specials that he did.
Let's do that. Or read his book, too. That's always cool.
Or read his book.
Yeah, Black is the New
White. I was gonna tell them all of the comedy specials that he did.
Okay.
Just so people just would know what to go look for. Stand-up-wise, he did... I don't know the name of any of our top... He did Analyzing White America. That's 2004. Know Your History. Jesus is Black. So was Cleopatra. That's 2006.
Okay.
He did 1993. He did Race. That's on CD.
Oh.
We know y'all ain't gonna find that on CD.
No.
Unless he got. Oh man, he on Tommy Boy Records. Okay, I was about to say it might be on YouTube, but Tommy Boy on YouTube. From 93, probably not going to happen. He also did another audio stand-up masterpiece in 94. So those two, Race and Masterpiece, you'll have to go find the audio of that. Analyze White America and Know Your History, Jesus is Black, so was Cleopatra. Those are two you're going to look for. And he also did It's the End of the World in 2010 and The Godfather Comedy in 2012. And he did a stand-up routine at one of Shaquille O'Neal's All-Star Comedy Jams. So,
oh, cool.
I mean, Shaquille O'Neal would do an All-Star Comedy Jam. He would film like two or three of them in one day.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one that is, but just go find it. Yeah. Go look at all of them. They're all black comedians. Maybe Gary Owen in there somewhere.
Oh.
I don't know.
One day we should just do a comedy special podcast episode.
Bet. I'm going to bring some comedians on here.
Yeah.
Bring a local comedian on here.
Okay.
If you're a local comedian, you want to come on As a Matter of Black, holler at me, Osiris Bobby.
You got to have you got to quote at least one Paul Mooney joke or we can't take you seriously.
You just cut down a lot of people in consideration of it right then and there.
Just kidding.
Just go Google it on YouTube and find the joke, okay?
Well, since we're talking about legends,
let's go.
I just recently watched a documentary about a legend.
Okay.
Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know why, but I have this thing about, like, boxing and boxers.
Right.
It's a very interesting sport to me. And, I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, I watch, like, you know, boxing and, like, I can tell you all of the things because I don't. Mm-hmm. But I find the people who are, like, especially, like, the greats, like Muhammad Ali mm-hmm. and, like, Mike Tyson and, like, Frazier mm-hmm. and Foreman. And, like, I find them in their life to be, like, particularly interesting.
Yeah.
Especially growing up in that era, and the sport itself. I think the sport itself used to be a little more, I don't know if I can think of a word for it right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seemed to be kind of one of those interesting sports that you could watch and sort of like take note of and find like interest in it. And you could see like the sportsmanship in boxing, and you can see the talent, you can see the athleticism in boxing, you can see like passion and drive. And then boxing has like an element of like human, this human interest piece that I really enjoy about sports, because it takes a lot of heart to like put your body on the line, but it's also an intellectual thing. And you could tell that, like, you could tell the intelligence coming across in like several boxing matches. And then when you learn about the story of like some of these people, these boxers, they have a very interesting story that kind of leads up to them becoming, you know, great athletes and great boxers because of it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I watched parts of both a documentary on Mike Tyson. I'll say this right here off top. Pretty much everything that's been came out on TV, whether it be a movie or a special interview, I have watched about Mike Tyson. He is one of the most interesting athletes of all time to me.
For sure.
One of the greatest boxers of his era, but one of the most interesting athletes of all time. And I encourage people to just like, you know, I'm not telling you be a fan of Mike Tyson, go support Mike Tyson, whatever. But, like, just read up on Mike Tyson. Because I got this thing where I like to see, I'm like you, I like to see the story of, like, athletes and how they got to where they are. And he's got one of the most interesting stories, you know what I'm saying, of all time. Like, talking about a kid who by the age of like 11 or 12 had been arrested like over 30 times from Brownsville, New York, one of the most, you know, one of like the craziest hoods in New York, where, you know what I'm saying, like at a young age, you got to learn how to survive and fend for yourself. And he basically, like, they talks about it openly. And I gotta go buy his book, man, because like I was so into his intro and his first like chapter in his book, but I never went to go buy it. But I'm gonna go buy it, because he remembers like everything down to the detail, every person, what happened to him. Like, he one of those guys. Like, I love people who got like great memories, because I'm like, I remember a lot of stuff too.
They make great storytellers.
He's a great storyteller, like, straight up. And people talk, like, mess with him about his lisp and his high-pitched voice. But, like, if you listen to him, man, he know how to tell a story. But he grew up being bullied, man, and, you know what I'm saying, grew up in poverty, chubby kid, you know what I'm saying. And one day, you know, he got pushed to the brink to where he felt like he had to defend himself and fight. And once he found out he had that power, he took that power and ran with it as a youth. And, man, it's just, like, I'm not going to tell you about his whole life story that goes through the documentary. But, like, it's kind of a shame how, like, the system raised him at the age of 11 or 12. And from there, you know, taking basically a kid with just raw talent, very little education, but his main interest was learning how to be a great fighter.
Yeah.
That's what he did on the streets. And him, like, finding discipline because he wanted to learn the art of boxing. And he basically was groomed. He was, like, robotic. I look at it like he was robotic, because it was like they, like, basically force-fed him his confidence. And basically, everything, they basically put all his hopes and his wishes into his hands. And I say his hands, like,
Like literally,
like, you can conquer the world with your fist. And he did it, but, you know what I'm saying, they didn't give him the discipline and the training outside of the ring. They basically just wanted him to be, like, you know what I'm saying, an untamed, like, no holds barred, like, straight up, like, fighter. Like, just nonstop, just go.
I think that they sort of, so at some point in time, I think they talk about how he felt used, like towards the end of his career.
He was definitely used. Yeah. He was used, but I'm saying he was used as a kid.
Yeah, he was used as a kid, and then, but then they talk about, like, he talks about how he felt used towards the end of his career because I guess he kind of looked up and there was like nothing.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, he had this raw talent. When I was watching his, because like you, I've seen many of the documentaries. I actually, here's a fun fact. Actually even saw his one man show.
Yeah, yeah. Spike Lee did that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was produced or directed by Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. I think it's called like Undisputed or something. It was It was on Broadway, and then he was doing a residency in Vegas, and I got to see him in Vegas at the MGM. And
oh, you saw it live?
I saw it live.
I thought you was talking about you saw, because they put it out on like,
they put it on Netflix.
Yeah.
They put it out on HBO, the Broadway version.
Yeah.
But I saw the live version of Mike Tyson in front of my face.
Oh wow. Okay.
In Las Vegas at the MGM.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, when he was doing a residency in 2016 or whatever.
Go ahead, traveler.
Yeah. It was incredible. I cried then. But I was crying at him a lot of stuff. But yeah, he has this incredible story. He has an incredible story of loss, you know, because he lost every, like, so many major important figures. His mom, his coach, his daughter, his 4-year-old daughter, died on a horrible treadmill accident.
Yeah.
And he has this incredible story of loss and sort of an emptiness. But all he knew was boxing and fighting. And
I'm going to say this right here real quick. I'm sorry.
No.
Because I think people, like, when they're listening to it, like, all they say all he knew was boxing. And, like, people like, what? What you mean? He didn't go to school? Nah, he really didn't go to school. Because if you look at it real talk, and anybody who's boxed knows this type of stuff, and people who follow boxing, boxing is still, to this day, one of the only athletic careers that in the United States, you don't have to depend on having no type of primary, secondary education.
And if you pay attention, like, no shade, if you pay attention to some of these boxers outside of maybe Muhammad Ali, some of these people seem like they probably can't even read education.
Man, 50 Cent makes jokes about Floyd Mayweather. Like, but I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, like, quit going to school in, like, middle school.
I mean, Mike Tyson was reading kind of slow. But, you know, people have nervousness when they read aloud and in public. But
I'll say this right here. For Mike Tyson, I'm pretty sure he don't have a high school degree. He has a very wide vocabulary.
He does, yeah.
To not have a high school diploma. Because if you got one, I'm surprised. I'll look it up.
He definitely kept caught up. I mean, now, because some of the interviews, he was trying to use words that were a little big for him and he couldn't. Mm-hmm. But eventually, he caught up. Now he's got like a podcast where he like talked for a living.
Yeah.
But yes, in terms of education, and that's how I know that, like, I kind of have a,
because nobody has a high school boxing team.
Yeah.
So you can do that without going to school.
And as a matter of fact, I think for a lot of these sort of like underground boxing training situations, it's for people that don't be at school. Like, it's an outlet for folks who skip school so that they don't be out in the streets, and they kind of funnel them to these boxing training programs in their neighborhood.
Already. So I'm reading it right now on his Wikipedia. They talk about by the age of 13, he'd been arrested 38 times. He was at the Tryon School for Boys in Johnstown, New York. Stewart considered Tyson to be an outstanding fighter and trained him for a few months before introducing him to Cus D'Amato. Tyson dropped out of high school as a junior. Like, that's right when he started getting trained by his coach and moving to his first real coach.
D'Amato.
Right, he drops out of school as soon as he starts getting trained.
Yeah.
By a professional, like, a professional.
Yeah.
So, Floyd Mayweather, same thing. I don't think his dad or his uncle even had they had high school education.
I'm not surprised. Like, I actually, at some point, I would look it up now if we was limited on time, but I want to know how many boxers are actually, like, illiterate. Because I feel like it may be a thing. But
I mean, it could be a thing, but at the same
time... Like, functioning illiterate.
It could be a thing, but at the same time, it's like, you know, in other countries, like, athletes, like, say, for instance, basketball in Europe, like, those kids turn pro while they're still teenagers. And some of them don't finish high school because their careers just jump off so fast, they don't have time to go to school, and they feel like they've learned enough. That's in Europe with, like, basketball players. It's a lot of basketball players that get drafted into the NBA at the age of 19 because they've been pro for 3-4 years. They've been pro since they was 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? The American culture has put up, like, what a sports with males and females. Like, you got to practice this stuff while you in high school, and then you could turn pro after college or after you did a little college. And boxing is one of those sports that don't have no age requirement to do it. You don't have to be a part of no school and none of that. You can just do that off the streets, and it's easier to do it that way, honestly, because you ain't got to deal with teachers. You just deal with your coach.
Yeah.
You ain't got to deal with your grades keeping you back from being able to practice a sport and hone your skills.
Yeah. There was a real interesting point. So the documentary is two-part. It's called The Knockout on CBS. It's on Hulu now. You know, we should be getting money for this type of stuff. Like, we should be getting sponsorships for pub and these things.
We'll hashtag it.
So, yes, the second part of the documentary sort of talks about his demise, mm-hmm. which has a very sensitive topic of rape.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize he went to prison. Like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that. But he was convicted of rape.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis, I believe. And by 18-year-old, there was like a Black Universe Universe.
Miss Black and Miss America, I want to say.
Yeah, pageant.
Yeah.
And an 18-year-old woman accused him of rape, and he was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And the documentary sort of goes through these ebbs and flows, kind of bringing up the point that you made about Paul Mooney, is that, like, back then, Mike Tyson was convicted of, like, this horrendous crime, and he was sentenced to prison, and he sort of came out but was still sort of welcomed.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't an element of, like, cancel culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
and
saying?
And I gotta say this, because this might be a topic for another episode.
Right, yeah. There.
Like, rape, very touchy topic.
So touchy.
And I'm not accusing and saying somebody was right, and I'm not saying somebody did it and somebody didn't do it, but... You know, when you have iconic figures in Black culture
mm-hmm.
being accused of that crime in particular, there's always so much doubt cast from so many different talking points from different people.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? You know, even to this day, some people that still say he didn't do it, some people say he did it, and some people saying, you know, they don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And nobody really knows because, you know what I'm saying, nobody was there. Well, only two people were there. And so, like, but that was a crime, but, like, you know what I'm saying, that when you say somebody got raped and involves a Black man.
With money,
you know what I'm saying? That's a crime that a lot of Black men with prominence and money have been accused for throughout history. That's a crime that a lot of Black men have been accused of without money.
Yeah.
So with and without money, and it's been a lie, you know what I'm saying, because it's been a setup or something like that. And trust me, I'm not saying Mike Tyson was set up or anything like that.
It's a generalization.
I'm just saying that, see, because I wasn't grown when it happened.
Yeah.
But if you heard the talk back then amongst a lot of adults in the black community, that was doubt casted immediately. And you got to look the way things were then. But hell, we didn't know. We was kids.
Mm-hmm.
We was children. We didn't know. Like you said, you didn't even know he went to prison for
it. I didn't know. I knew that there was a sexual something or another.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was convicted.
Yeah. And so, like, times have changed so much. Thankfully, because like a lot of women, like, were automatically, black or white, were just basically just, they were just like called liars, or people didn't believe them. Like, what kind of celebrity with all this power and this money would force himself on a woman? And now we hear stories after the Me Too movement, after we hear about different stories about the casting couch, after a lot of DNA evidence. We see that these crimes actually do happen, and you just can't be given the benefit of the doubt just because you got money and you're powerful and you're considered handsome and a sex symbol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But back then, man, which it had nothing to do with us.
No.
But that was like, that was the way of thinking.
So, to your point, back then, they did not see it for the victim.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And there was sort of like this overwhelming, you know, like people had this overwhelming opinion about like, well, why would you go and do that? You go to the room and whatever, did you not expect? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But
now, back then it wasn't no means no.
Right.
And now people actually hear that.
It's almost like, why would you not want to? Like, why would you want to say no to?
Why did you go there at 1 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. All that type of stuff. Do whatever you want to.
But two things I wanted to bring up, mm-hmm. because I want to kind of move on from that.
Yeah, for sure.
So they were saying that like this, you know, 105-pound, you know, 5'2" or whatever black lady brought down like the heavyweight champion of the world, and so there was this like this overarching like concept that like this individual just. In this juxtaposition to Mike Tyson, who's like, what, 5'10", 250 at the time, and the heavyweight champion.
He wasn't 250.
He was like 240.
He probably is about more close to 220 or something like that.
Seriously?
Dude, he was a 5'10", like, solid muscle.
Like, they was over here talking about 250 on the documentary now.
He wasn't, no. I don't remember ever being, like, 250 during his prime young time.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my point.
But that's a, like, when you 105, 220 pounds is like a whole.
You might as well be 250.
Yeah, man. Solid muscle, a boxer. Like, dude, yeah. Ain't got no body fat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the point that they were making was that this lady, 18 years old, not even like a, you know, she's like a young adult.
I mean, yeah, technically she's still a child to me.
She's still kind of a kid.
Yeah.
Was responsible for sort of taking him down. And they were talking about how he had all these wins. And then, you know, essentially like this was like one of his biggest losses. But then there was also this like stark like point of view about how, you know, the powers that be or whoever saw a black man with money, a big black man with money,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to take him down, thus his conviction. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I bring up the point about that because of what we were talking about earlier, cancel culture, mm-hmm. and then also sort of this, you know, people don't talk about this sort of thing.
With him.
Because yeah. Now, you know, people talk more about him biting Evander Holyfield than they talk about anything else. And then also, he sort of experienced like a rebirth
mm-hmm.
where he's sort of like being seen as like a new person, which is...
Man, and I'll say this right here, and I'm going to move on too.
Okay.
Yeah, because back then, he had a lot of support from church folks, from politicians.
Yup.
You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying?
Yup.
He had a lot of support from just the black community in general.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? man, once the church people and the legislators and lawmakers and elected officials and prominent black people start defending you, you really, whether you get found guilty or not, you really have proven yourself to be a stand-up and honest person. Yeah. Once these people start backing you, you know what I'm saying? Once he got out, did like a lot of men did, he converted to Islam. Now he praying 5 times a day, all that type of stuff.
He over there talking about, he over there trying to go to the
praise be to Allah. He said it.
He over there trying to go to the Chinese Muslim place so he can get chicken fried rice and makes a lot.
Yeah.
So, at the same time.
Steam to walk in makes a lot. Come on now. You can do both at the same time. You can do both.
That was a quote off of the Fugees. Do you remember the Fugees?
I don't know where you're coming from, but now I just came back to you, man.
When you talking about going to get Chinese, it makes a lot.
And look, I didn't came back with another phrase. You want to steam the wok, it makes a lot. You know what I'm saying?
That's perfect. It rhymes.
I'm a rapper. I do this. Go download streams. Go download the stream Friends.
Friends, yes.
But, you know what I'm saying? It's like when they come out and, you know, man, just be real. You know, so many men get admired, when black men, when they come home from prison, and we got that knowledge. You got some, you found some spirituality. You found something, and you found some type of peace to your life, and you seem like a more mature person and more disciplined. People admire that.
They do.
And the thing about it is, I'm not saying you shouldn't admire it. Like, when you go through whatever you go through in life and you seem like you come out of your struggle, you know what I'm saying? And there's so many black men in the community that, you know what I'm saying, that are wanted to be like mentors and somebody to look up to. So when somebody come home like that and it's like they trying to be positive, it's like we support it. But to your point, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And to my point too, like I can't even say all sins were forgiven.
Yeah.
Cause it really wasn't even a situation where like people believe that he sinned and he did something like that. It was just like, we waiting on you until you get home. You know what I'm saying? That's what I gather from everything. And I'm talking about it from, you know, I was young at the time. You know what I'm saying? All we knew was Mike Tyson was the scariest man alive, and at the same time, most successful and richest boxer.
Yeah.
And then he had Don King in his corner.
That's great.
And nobody want to talk about Don King to this day.
Can we not? Is he alive?
Yeah.
He's still alive?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Alive. I wonder if he still got the same hairdo.
It's something like it. You know, he done lost some hair, so. But I just say, just go check it out. I just say, go check out his story. Because one of the things I want people to understand about his story, like, they don't really get into it like they should. And that's why you should go probably read the book, because he talks about his youth and his childhood way more than they did in these documentaries. But it's so important through those years when they're a child, the attention that you pay to a child, the attention that they receive, the company that they accept as their family and their friends is so important. Because, you know what I'm saying, when you get raised by the streets and you see how the streets mold an individual into where they become a child and go from a child to a man, and then you see like what happens as a result of living on the streets or being raised in a system, you see why they justify a lot of their actions. And so, like, imagine growing up, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, all the way through your teen years, and you living in a youth correctional facility, a youth locker facility.
Yeah.
The things that you see, and I can tell you firsthand the things that I saw, you know what I'm saying, and why that changes a young man and a young woman's thought process, and how it affects your rationale and your decision-making abilities. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, it does something to a child, and I'm not making excuses for adults. I'm just telling you, it makes you understand more of why situations happen and why things are justified and why people go out on a limb to do things that put themselves in dangerous positions and put themselves in the wrong position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna
Go check it out. Tell us what y'all think. I'm really looking forward for some of y'all to start hitting us up and telling y'all.
Yeah, tell us your thoughts about the thing.
And send us topics.
Send us topics.
But on a lighter note, after we get off on all that Mike Tyson stuff.
Yeah.
So I did something for the first time since I guess 2019 or early 2020.
2019, September.
Okay. I did something for the first time. I went to a music festival since 2019. My last music festival was 2019.
Yeah.
So in 2021, in May, I went to a music festival, and it was a local music festival. Shout out to Stoney Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Homegrown. I went to Homegrown. And, man, it was a good time, man. It was a good time. You know what I'm saying? The location was, like, off the grid, like, for show. Like, you could GPS to the location. But I hit up, like, 15 people besides the event coordinators. I was like, y'all know where this at? Everybody was like, nope. But GPS say it's this many minutes and this many miles away. And so, went, man, saw a lot of dope hip-hop R&B talent. And, man, it was just beautiful vibes. No drama, no beef, no stress. Good food, good drink, good music, man, and beautiful weather. Like, I don't know if anybody else just said this, but Arkansas, this spring has been tremendously cool.
It's been amazing.
Like, we still got people, I'm one of them, wearing hoodies at night and during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had, I don't recall not one 90 degree day. And I recall so many 70, 80 degree days. And this, that, at the Homegrown, they got down to like 55 degrees that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was looking at me crazy because I showed up in a hoodie.
But you was prepared.
You dig? You know what I'm saying? That was the George Floyd Memorial Day that we did in Little Rock, which was very successful.
I saw that.
And so, but yeah, like, it's just dope to see, like, the music community coming back together again, because that bill had, like, over 20-some artists, a bunch of dope rappers, dope R&B singers, man, good DJs. And, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to more festivals. And the one thing I like about the festival was it was a big enough space where everybody could social distance.
Okay.
So even people, you know, because I showed up with the mask on and everything, with my lawn chair, the mask, and the cooler. And shout out to my peoples, you know what I'm saying, Dom, Miranda, Ashley. We all was there. Saw my boy Coach East out there, too.
Yay.
And, you know, I saw a lot of people I know, too, but I'm just naming just like four or five of them, people that won't get mad that I named them. But, like, it was like nobody was all up on your neck. Nobody was all up on your shoulders touching you. Like, everybody respected everybody's space. Mm-hmm. And they did it in a big enough field to where, you know what I'm saying, everybody could do it as long as, you know what I'm saying, you was cool with, like, respecting everybody's space. The show didn't stop, and it was a good festival. I think it lasted about 8 hours. I was out there probably, like, 5 hours at a time.
Well, I didn't get a chance to make it to this Homegrown.
Yeah, we know.
But in 2019, I did go to a Homegrown, and I had an incredible time. I was very under the influence.
Oh, and that was another thing right there, man. It was like, they was in rotation all night long over there, man.
I mean, the thing is, though, like, when I tell you I was, like, so happy to finally go to a Homegrown in 2019, I, like, super excited, and I'm so excited that I pregame at the house, and then when I got there, they was handing out Jello shots and more liquor and snacks, and you know, the girls were so nice and so cute and very friendly, and then the guys all had top and bottom grills. You know what I'm saying? Like every man at the homegrown had a top and a bottom grill, and to me, you know, there's no other place I'd like to be other than the place where men, with all the black men got top and bottom grills at the same time.
I ain't put my grill in.
But it was a great event. Lots of love the local music scene. Love the vibe. Like, it was a vibe. It was one of those sort of, like, I don't want to call it underground because it didn't really feel like underground to me. Like, it really feels like, you know what I'm saying? It really feels like on the cusp of, like, you know, pop culture. Like, everybody gives you fashion. Everybody gives you really good vibes.
Like, I mean, I think the thing about homegrown is, man, like, like, 90% of those acts could fill up one of the local venues.
Yeah.
But the vibe of homegrown is just like, be yourself and be free.
Yeah.
Like, do what you do.
Yeah.
Like, we, like they gave, you know, they was giving away plates of food and giving away, like, drink and stuff like that. Like, most clubs don't want to do it like that. And then most clubs don't want the dank. You know what I'm saying? They don't want you to smoke it out.
Not 420 friendly.
I mean, they should be 420 friendly, but our state and our city is not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, man, you got to do it somewhere where it's gonna, like, you can respect everybody. Respect everybody, like, cool and everybody vibe. And, you know what I'm saying, just let people do what they do, because, you know what I'm saying, when y'all put them rules and regulations on people, that's what make people just get all uptight in this star stuff.
Yeah, this is true. And I mean, black people, you know, because we are asthmatic black.
How many times have you snuck a flask into a spot because you knew them drinks was going to be busting and the line was going to be too long?
I've only done that a couple of times.
But you did it.
But I did it. And I do it again.
Exactly.
But black people,
how many times have you took your own food into the movie theater?
I've never done that.
Boy, hang with your boy.
It's too much for me.
Not even snacks?
No, because you don't snack. I'm not like a snack girl.
Man.
I ain't got to eat and watch movies at the same time. That's not my thing.
Man, I'm just saying.
I'm going to eat before or after.
We appreciate you. Guys just dating you, we appreciate you for that. Because it's like, real talk, if I know you want popcorn, chicken, gummy bears, and three sodas, something like that, I would rather just hit the Dollar General up before we go.
Before you go?
I'm like, baby, it's your world. Do your thing.
All the snacks.
Do what you like.
No. That's not my thing. I don't really like eat popcorn like that. And all that butter and stuff be too much for me.
I mean, and they done got cocky at the movie theaters now and started wanting to sell beer and wine and stuff like that.
Now I will get a beer.
But why not go ahead and hit and get a six pack? Your purse gonna be big enough.
Let me tell you, the last time I was with somebody that snuck a alcoholic beverage into the movies, the usher came and took it.
There wasn't no G about it like I would have been. You're not taking my six pack. Brother? Sister?
Well, the verdict is still out for me. Listen.
Man, I would walk in the movie theater in a second with my own cup, with my own bottle, with my own can. I mean, we're going to put it in your purse first. But I'm just saying. like, you want to walk down the aisles and start nitpicking and shining a light and seeing what we doing?
It has been done.
Look, guess what? You ain't taking my stuff. Not all this overpriced stuff y'all got up in here.
Okay, can I get back to my point?
Man, go with you. Do what you want to do.
Black people need spaces and environments.
Yeah.
For things like artistic expression.
Yeah.
And black people who don't want to be bothered or pestered and just want to be free and enjoy themselves should be able to enjoy an event like Homegrown.
Yeah.
And Homegrown is an event that's like for the people, by the people.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we just, I just appreciate what that brings to Arkansas, because especially living here, you know, it's hard. First of all, it's hard to find black people in general.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to find an environment in which you fit, where you're not judged, because we'll have to talk about this later,
mm-hmm.
but we did get a big uproar about a venue here that basically shunned every black person in the history.
We could talk about it on another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we black people all over typically experience these things where we are sort of being isolated and banned from places, and it's really up to us, which is another reason why I'm happy to see an event like Homegrown,
mm-hmm.
because it's up to us to create the spaces that we want to be a part of.
Yeah, we're not begging and asking anybody to accept our money or accept our presence.
Oh, absolutely not.
Not begging nobody to take my money.
Not for what I do to get my money.
Nah.
What I got to do to get my money?
What I do to get mine too?
I ain't finna be begging you to take it.
Please let us in. Nope.
You don't got to have my money.
I will turn around and go patronize before I come in your restaurant and you deny me entry.
And I got to figure out, this outfit work?
Before I walk through your club or your restaurant and see the sign and get denied entrance, I will gladly go to the corner with the man with a speaker and a food truck and go have all my fun down there.
Yes, enjoy myself.
And enjoy myself to the fullest. And spend more money with him,
mm-hmm.
and tell him, can I come back next week with mm-hmm. more people?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, yes, for that reason,
him or her.
Him or her. Yes. So, for that reason, we appreciate Homegrown. I can't wait. I missed this one, but they said the Homegrown is listed as a series.
Yeah. So
hopefully there'll be more.
Hopefully we can come out next time and actually get some audio.
Oh, yeah. That'll be cool.
From different artists and different people there.
Yeah.
So people know what we're talking about.
Okay. So y'all got to figure out
how. And we come up with our press passes too.
We got to get a press pass, please.
Because y'all getting hashtagged.
Okay. So we did good. We did great. Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying. We did a great job.
We did great. I thought we was going to our next one, but that's what I was saying.
We are, but I was just saying we did a good job, and so we're ready to wrap it up.
Okay, I didn't know if you was ready to wrap it up.
By doing a four ingredients.
She's going to say bye real quick, and that's why it pissed me off right there. Four ingredients, man.
So we come to our favorite part, segment. Portion of the show.
Most definitely. You know what I'm saying? We are the beer lovers, sometimes beer snobs.
Sometimes beer snobs. And so here's our segment. It's called Four Ingredients.
Yeah, most def.
It's where we review a new beer of the day or of the episode or of the podcast. We call it Four Ingredients because it takes four ingredients to make a great, amazing beer.
What them be?
That's water, hops, barley and yeast.
Yeah, and we're gonna start brewing our own thing soon.
Yeah, I can't wait. So I feel like you have to help me decide because I don't really know what I want to do.
Okay, let's try your out of town ones.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so this time, last time, you know what I'm saying, I brought something to the podcast. I brought some beer that I found because I have been getting requests from some of the listeners to stop reviewing IPAs. And so I brought something that was so far from my IPA last time.
You fumbled.
I fumbled, but I told people who would like it what they should do with it.
Okay, so this four
ingredients. Because I know what a beer lover or people who drink beer, I know who gonna like what.
Yes. So, this four ingredients may be a bit different because I have two beers.
Word.
They're different types of beers. No, they're different. Okay.
Let me get that one.
All right. It's got stuff on it. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so it's the same type of beer.
No, the same company, right?
Same company.
Yeah.
But it's the same type of beer because they're both IPAs.
Okay. All right.
However, they're different variations of IPA.
All right, but it's okay. The same company.
Same company. Company's Monday Night Brewing.
Word.
In Atlanta, and it's in the heart of Atlanta, so we appreciate them.
ATL.
So I'm going to read mine, and then you do your thing.
Okay.
So my beer is called Blind Pirate. It's a blood orange IPA. It's got a 7.4% ABV, which, you know, is juicy. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a juicy caramel citrus type of beer.
Oh, really? Sounds good.
I went here when I was in Atlanta and had a really good time. I was able to get six ounce pours, and I actually ended up giving two of them away to like a couple that was on a date. I felt very accomplished.
You sound like a regular philanthropist.
They were so sweet. They were actually, because it's Pride Month, they were a lesbian couple. They were very sweet. And so I felt like I was blessing them on their date.
Blessing some peace to them.
Because all I wanted was matrimony for them.
Already. And let's match some more for us.
Okay, what are you drinking?
Nah, so what I'm drinking, okay, so the company is called Monday Night Brewing.
Yes.
From out of ATL, Georgia.
Yes.
Bulldogging like them Georgetown Hoyas.
Sure.
This one is called A Slap Fight. Man, I could say so much about the name on that, the slap fights. Remember when they used to have slap fights in Little Rock? It's like a few years ago at the club.
I don't remember.
People was having slap fights. But anyway, I was like, man, these girls are in the club slapping each other for money.
Like slapping each other? Like,
let's see who quit first after you get slapped so many times and you win like $100.
That's crazy.
Man.
And people, at Elevations?
Nah, I think it was at the Changes or Empire.
Oh.
But it's called Slap Fight. It's an IPA. Fresh, dank, juicy. You know, this is 5.8.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you picked the wrong one.
Well, no. This is good right here for me. And, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you picked the right one.
Mine's a 7.4.
Already. So.
Let's do it.
Before I take a sip of this, do you want some of mine or you want to pour it in something?
Oh, let's do that.
Okay. So, why don't you go grab...
Actually, we should have just tried the same beer and just, like, shared it. That
would've
been smarter.
Well, all I said was go grab the ones we ain't never heard of.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I didn't just think to, like, we could share it.
Okay. But so, I just...
They're both open, so now we have to drink them both.
All right, cool. Well, while Bowie, you know what I'm saying, get us situated.
Yeah. All right. Let's just do two beer reviews.
Bet. First off, we're going to try Slap Fight. Shout out to all the slap fighters.
Cheers.
Cheers. You hear the clink of the glasses, y'all?
Smells really tasty.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, you smell the citrusy orange in it. Juicy. We call it a fresh, dank, juicy IPA India Pale Ale. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. This is I could tell already off top.
Mm-hmm.
This is an IPA that it's pretty smooth.
You taste the juice in it. Taste the citrusiness.
Yeah.
What does dank mean for a beer? Do you know?
I think it just got more to do with the smell. Like the smell is louder. That's what I think.
I guess that makes sense.
Because it's got we put it up, it's got a nice aroma to it.
It's got all the elements of like smell, taste, texture. Mm-hmm. It's a light. It's a little light, yeah, but it's also light. It's five.
But yeah, but it's like, it's lighter 5. In the 8. Taste. It's not a super hoppy beer.
Yeah.
Which most IPAs are just known for, like, the hoppiness.
And it's not 5. Typically, I don't really do 5 nothing for IPAs, but it's 5.8. So it's light enough, but also, like, good enough to kind of get you a... After a couple of these, you should be fine.
Yeah, I would definitely get a pint of this.
Yeah.
I would definitely get a pint glass of this. And, you know, work it out at the Alps on this.
This is good.
It's good. It's a good summertime IPA.
It is a summertime.
This is a good summertime IPA.
It's got a pretty color.
And the Slap Fight name on it makes me think that this might get you in trouble if you just really don't pay attention to yourself. So, get a 6-pack, drink 4, share 2. Man, if you don't, shout out, that's a...
We got a guard dog for the podcast.
Exactly.
She actually the mascot.
Y'all run up, y'all gonna get done up.
Her name Midnight because it's we as a matter of black.
Exactly. And she show up in the Midnight Hour on you. What else you got to say?
She's done talking. She's done.
Already.
Maybe I can bring Midnight to Homegrown. Did they have their dogs out there?
I'm pretty sure somebody did have pets out there.
I mean, but I can't be responsible for her when I start, you know, partying.
Well, that's why you can't bring her out there to you. But, hey, man. You got to think about it. It's a festival. It's an all-day-long thing. So, I don't think that's why there was a lot of pets out there. But some chickens did. It was some chickens and some gooses that just came through the party and started kicking it. That's how far out we was, y'all, man. Some chickens just showed up. And people started trying to take pictures of the chickens and hug the pigeons. Well, not the pigeons. I'm sorry, the chickens.
They had pigeons?
Man, it was in the country.
Chickens, pigeons.
It was chickens and gooses.
Gooses.
But I said pigeons on accident.
Goose.
Geese.
I'm going to start pouring this other one.
Okay.
It's a little dark.
Yeah.
It's stressing my dog out.
No, we ain't stressing him. Tell us about that one.
So, first of all, it's got a nice orangey golden amber color. Kind of looks like whiskey, but...
Already.
Didn't have that strong of a smell.
Blind pirate, huh?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, juicy caramel citrus.
Why did you say you don't know?
Well, because I taste more caramel than, like, hoppiness.
Already, so we know in ATL, they like to play with the flavors of the IPA with Monday Night Brewing.
Let me
taste mine too.
When it like flattens, it gives you an IPA taste, but it's got a little bit of like a maltiness to it that IPAs typically don't have.
Most definitely, I taste what you're talking about.
And I think it's the caramel, this caramel thing that they got going on. It's a caramel flavor. I mean, caramel color too. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
Real talk.
I mean, I don't dislike it.
No, it's not a bad tasting beer at all. I'm taking a little swig real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Already. Okay, so what I can say about this one right here. This, what's it called? Let me see. The Blind Pirate Blood Orange IPA from Monday Night Brewing. You know. You having... Solo, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime night.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got your little snacks together, got your little sandwich. Or,
ooh, a sandwich sounds so good.
Sandwich, a little meal or something like that. and you want to pull up a nice little brew to go down good with your meal, preferably a sandwich, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, this beer right here, you need that for, like, you know what I'm saying? You made you a burger and some fries, or, you know what I'm saying, you got you a nice little breaded chicken sandwich with some tots. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, I'll say this right here. Pizza and a beer.
Pizza
and a beer.
Definitely.
But you ready to go ahead and knock out a couple of movies because you ain't got no date. Mm. You ain't got no work tonight.
Story of my life.
You ain't got no life. You want to watch something that night. You know what I'm saying?
Story of my life.
And you need a few hours. Get you a six pack of that, but only drink three of them.
Yeah, drink like 2.5, 3.
Cause they 7 what?
7.8. Drink you just like 2 of these. You be straight.
Okay, all I'm saying
7.4.
Is
7.4.
When you wake up on either Sunday morning or you're gonna wake up on Saturday morning, you would have felt fulfilled with your night because you ate good, you watched something good, and you drank good.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? That's how you're going to feel after watching your movie, drinking your beer, and eating your food. Blind Pirate. Monday Night Brewing.
Monday Night Brewing. Love
in
them.
ATL.
Lovely place. Nice hospitality.
But you got to eat some food with that one.
You got to eat some food with that one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you could just drink it alone. I'm sorry.
Sure.
But it's going to go great with something else to eat.
Well, you know what I'm happy about?
What?
I'm happy that we gave the people 2-4 ingredients today.
Already.
Because, you know, sometimes we skip episodes of 4 ingredients. And one of these days, we're going to do a whole, just a beer review again. That was fun. Early in the pandemic, we did just a beer review.
Well, maybe we can come back with that this year.
I had fun doing that. Maybe we can have a guest the next time.
I mean, hey, look, if you're going to be a guest on our next beer review,
You got to drink the beer.
But you're going to be a number 2 guest.
Yeah.
Preferably number 1, be a brewery. If you want to be a guest on there, please bring multiple beers for us to taste so we can pub up your company and bring some good tasting beers. It don't matter which craft beer it is, just bring it.
Agreed.
But if you not a brewery, then you better bring some tasty beers with you.
That's the deal. That is the deal. All right. So, thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking us out. Check us out again and more. Share us, pub us, rate us, review us, give us topics, love on us, all the things.
Hey, I love y'all to death and I love you for life, all right?
Yep. Stay safe.
Peace.